Wednesday, April 26, 2023. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. Hope you, your family, your friends, everyone out there is staying strong. You're all staying healthy right now. And we've got to go ahead and jump in to the NBA playoffs that have already been a little bit unpredictable, a little bit crazy already in just the first round. And let's start off with the most surprising series of the opening round. And that is in the Eastern Conference, where the number one Milwaukee Bucks, and by the way, my pick to win the NBA title, is now down 3-1 to the number 8 seed Miami Heat. Now, I know I said prior to the playoffs even starting, in order for the Bucks to seriously make a title run, they had to stay healthy. Giannis Antetokounmpo is now battling a back injury. That's always bad for anyone. It's really bad for a big guy, and a big guy that is really athletic. It's really, really bothering him. But here's where things get even more weird. Miami is actually more injured than Milwaukee. I mean, Victor Oladipo is out. Tyler Hero is out. The key for this series is that the Miami Heat are just being dragged to wins, lately at least, by Jimmy Butler. He is just refusing to lose. Scored 56 the other night. He is just dominating Milwaukee. And the Bucks defense, which has been a long time backbone of just kind of who they are, it has been non-existent. Do you realize the Milwaukee Bucks are allowing 123 points per game in this series to Miami? I mean, hard to win anything when you aren't playing any defense. And against a Miami team that really hasn't been that great of a scoring team. Game 5 is tonight in Milwaukee. Hey, the Bucks have to win or they are done. They go home for the summer. I would think that Milwaukee could scrape out a win tonight. But do I believe they can win 3 in a row? I'm not so sure. They have got to get Giannis back to playing well and just being healthy. The other night in Game 4, he didn't look so good. I think Milwaukee is in some serious trouble. The number 2 Boston Celtics are now leading the number 7 Atlanta Hawks 3-2. And one key reason for that is that the Celtics, they seem to be a little more focused on their defense this year. And more specifically, they've been focused more on their rebounding. First-year head coach Joe Mazzulla, he has really stressed the importance of getting stops to this group. On the other side, I don't know. I was watching some of that series. I think the Atlanta Hawks, they just cry too much. And I'm not just talking about in Game 4 where DeJounte Murray got tossed, had that incident with the referee. I'm not talking just about that. I'm talking about in general. Trae Young, those Atlanta Hawks, they just cry too much. Way too much whining going on. And then you're not focused on what you should be doing. You're focused on complaining about every single call, every single time. Right now, I think with the Milwaukee Bucks struggling, it sure feels like the Boston Celtics have to be considered the favorite to win the title. We'll see if they can keep it rolling in the next series. You know, I had also said prior to the playoffs that the number 3 Philadelphia 76ers, if they struggle at all in the first round against the number 6 Brooklyn Nets, that would be a huge red flag to me. Well, apparently the Sixers must have been listening. They wasted no time whatsoever. And actually, they posted the only sweep by any team in the first round of these playoffs. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't concerns for Philadelphia. Primarily because big man Joel Embiid suffered a sprained knee against Brooklyn back in Game 3, and they're saying he's not going to be at full strength no matter when their second round starts. Will he be good enough? We'll have to see. If Embiid is healthy, then Philadelphia versus Boston in the second round, oh yeah, that's going to be highly entertaining. James Harden is playing, I guess, about as well as you could expect him to right now. He's doing what he needs to do. They're getting some things out of Tyrese Maxey. Philly is pretty dangerous over in the East as well. The final series in the East, the number 4 New York Knicks are up 3-1 on the number 5 Cleveland Cavaliers. Hey, the Knicks are playing tough. They're playing physical. But man, are the Cleveland Cavaliers just so inexperienced. And they show it. They look inexperienced. They absolutely have looked like a deer in the headlights since the very first game of this series. I thought it'll take them a game and then they'll kind of figure things out. No. Donovan Mitchell, he's trying, but he can't do it alone. And everyone else on that roster just looks scared to death. Hey, I'm going to give Knicks head coach Tom Thibodeau a ton of credit for the job that he has done with those Knicks. For one, like I said, they are tough. They are playing physical. Second, he has actually developed some depth on that roster. And lastly, and I think this is why he's developed those things, hey, he's not afraid. He saw the way Julius Randle was playing in game 4, and he said, you know what? You're not effective. I don't care if you're the superstar. You need to sit down. He sat him down, and the rest of the team rallied and picked it up. Tibbs has got players like Jalen Brunson and RJ Barrett and Josh Hart playing tough. The Knicks, like I said, have been giving Donovan Mitchell all kinds of trouble. I expect the Knicks to advance in this series. Game 5 is tonight. So maybe they don't end it tonight, but I think they'll end it very soon. So we could end up with Miami Heat against the New York Knicks in the second round. That would be absolutely wild over in the Eastern Conference. We move over to the Western Conference, where the number 1 Denver Nuggets finished off the Minnesota Timberwolves last night in 5 games. You know, the Nuggets looked pretty solid in that series, but I still struggle with them, and I struggle with them for a couple of reasons. For one, they don't always play hard every night. There are nights that you can just tell they're kind of just going through the motions. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's players. I don't know what it is, but there are nights, if we win, great. If not, that's okay too. Secondly, I see them struggling at times to stop teams from doing what they like to do. Hey, we like to fast break. Hey, we like to come down, run down the clock, get a shot late, take a jump shot. What? They don't take those things away. I don't understand why. I don't know if it's a scouting issue. I don't know why, but they don't always stop teams from going to their go-to thing, and I think that could cost them. And three, I think Minnesota is just a bad basketball team. I don't like the way they're built at all. This series has been, though, a coming out party for Wolves guard Anthony Edwards, who has torched the Nuggets pretty much every single night. And that is not a good sign, because Denver can't seem to stop one guy. But still, the Nuggets are a handful. When you get Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, and Michael Porter Jr. firing well on offense, hey, they can put up a ton of points, and they can put them up quickly. Next up, I expected this to happen. I said this was probably going to happen, and it is going exactly like I thought it would. The number 2 Memphis Grizzlies bit off way more than they could chew, and they are now down 3-1 to the number 7 Los Angeles Lakers. We talked about a little bit going into the playoffs. The Grizzlies have some injury problems, but it's not just that, because they also have local moron Dylan Brooks running his mouth way too much and then not having the game to back it up in any capacity. Hey, you can't run your mouth and then skip out on the media after the game. If you're going to talk and you're going to run it, we all might get annoyed with like Draymond Green or someone like that. Hey, if he runs his mouth, at least he has the guts to go out and face the media after. Dylan Brooks wouldn't even face the media after game 4. That is kind of pathetic. And also, can you stop dressing like you're Cat Williams? I don't know who you think you are. I don't know what's going on with Dylan Brooks. Very, very weird. But the Los Angeles Lakers are actually buzzing along right now. Game 5 is in Memphis tonight, and I fully expect the Lakers to finish this off. Now, the question will be, when will Anthony Davis get carted out in a wheelchair only to return like 5 minutes later totally fine? Hey, it can happen literally at any second. But the Lakers are absolutely rolling the Memphis Grizzlies. The number three Sacramento Kings started their series strong, but now the number six Golden State Warriors have won two in a row. And this series looks like it could be headed for seven games. Game five is tonight in Sacramento. And you know, watching the Steph Curry versus De'Aaron Fox matchup has been very, very fun. My only concern about it is now Fox has a fractured finger. That might limit him a little bit. But man, De'Aaron Fox is an absolute jet. A couple things to watch in this series. Can the Golden State Warriors actually win a game on the road? That has been a struggle. And they're going to have to if they're going to win this series. They haven't done that so well. Also, can the Sacramento Kings actually make a three-point shot? Their shooting has been so bad this series. Now, I'll give Golden State some credit for that. Again, it's always funny to me. People are like, yeah, I don't know why. We just didn't shoot well against them. Well, they might have had something to do with it. But sometimes this is actually a case of Sacramento being wide open and they just can't knock the shot down. The look that Harrison Barnes had the other night to win the game and he couldn't knock it down. Hey, it wasn't anything Golden State did. He had a wide open look and he clanked it. At some point, can Sacramento, I don't know, maybe knock down a long range shot? They haven't done it yet. This has, though, been the best series of the opening round by far. I fully expect it to go seven games. Finally, we have the number four Phoenix Suns, who finished off the number five Los Angeles Clippers last night in game five. The Suns have, though, shown some flaws. Mostly, they don't have a ton of depth, but they do have that three-headed monster of Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and Kevin Durant, and that monster is very, very potent. After that, well, the Suns get a little bit thin. I honestly think the surprise of this series has been the play of Clippers guard Russell Westbrook, who has, bizarrely, kind of looked like a real NBA player again. He's played really well, but he hasn't had any help. Paul George is out hurt again, and Kawhi Leonard, he just never plays. Remember a few years ago when Kawhi won the title with Toronto and people were comparing him to Jordan? Really? Jordan? Maybe Jordan Farmar. Maybe Jordan Clarkson, but not Michael Jordan. You never play. You can't be Air Jordan. You're more like, I don't know, Rare Jordan. So in the West, we are going to end up with Denver facing Phoenix in the second round, which I believe could be more interesting maybe than people think. I think the top end favors Phoenix. I think the depth favors Denver. Can Denver have nice things? Probably not, but I mean, Phoenix isn't that much better either. And then I think we're going to end up with a winner of that Golden State Sacramento series against the LA Lakers, which could end up being actually pretty entertaining no matter who it is. You know, the one question that I do have for these NBA playoffs is simply this. What in the world is with all of the ejections? I mean, think about it. In the playoffs alone, we have had Draymond Green, Nick Claxton, James Harden, and Dylan Brooks all get tossed from playoff games, and the only one that really deserved it was Draymond. What is weird is that in the same game that we saw James Harden get ejected, Joel Embiid actually intentionally kicked a player and did not get ejected. But most of these ejections we're seeing, they're barely even technical fouls, let alone ejections. It is so weird to me. I don't understand it. It is so weird that a league with a commissioner like Adam Silver, who is scared to death of the players on every single issue, is tossing players out of games like Bobby Knight versus a chair. And I just feel like someone needs to explain to Adam Silver, that weird alien, that NBA players in this era, they want to be ejected. That's just forced load management. The real punishment at this point would be making NBA players stay in the game and actually play the game. That, my friends, is how you'd get NBA players' attention. They would hate that. Hey, before we jump in today, just want to remind you, be sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com where we have new articles going up every week. We have links to the podcast. We have links to the video. Yes, we have links to the Daily Dose gear as well. If you need a new t-shirt, You need a new sweatshirt. Maybe you need a new hoodie. I know we're now in the spring, but it's still a little cool, at least where I'm at. Maybe you need a new coffee mug for your desk. Whatever you might need, you can find it over at DailyDoseSports.com. So make sure you're stopping by there every single week. Today on the show, we are going to be bringing you our annual NFL mockery draft. Yes, many sports shows this week, they're going to do a mock draft. We do things a little differently here at The Dose, but we will be getting you ready for the 2023 NFL draft, which begins tomorrow, and we'll be getting you ready like no one else. Plus, we will have a Daily Dose Top 5 for you today. It's going to be a little NFL draft flavored as well. But first, we do have a little sports news that we want to talk. Staying in the NBA, a sister of Los Angeles Clippers star Kawhi Leonard was one of two women sentenced to life in prison without parole for the murder of an elderly woman in a Southern California casino back in 2019. Kamisha Williams, one of Kawhi's sisters, and Candace Townsend were convicted in February for the murder of 84-year-old Afaf Assad in a bathroom at a casino resort in Temecula, California. Sentencing for the first-degree murder convictions was handed down last Friday. According to reports, Williams and Townsend went to the casino back in August of 2019, and Assad and her husband entered with a purse containing around $1,000 with which they were going to gamble. When Assad went into the bathroom, Williams allegedly followed her, and Townsend stayed outside to be a lookout. A short time later, a woman in another stall heard a loud thud. Williams and Townsend were seen fleeing to the exit, of course, because, you know, casinos have cameras everywhere. And Assad was found bleeding on the floor. She actually had a fractured skull and died 4 days later. This is a terrible story. This is absolutely horrible. Maybe it wasn't intentional. I don't know. But they obviously planned to rob this woman, whatever their plan was, as far as if they were going to murder her or not. But this is a terrible story. And, you know, I can't help but wonder if this all could have been avoided. And I can't help but wonder if this all could have been avoided if Kamisha had followed her brother Kawhi's example of load management. I mean, let's be honest. Kawhi isn't murdering anyone. He'd claim to be injured, and he'd sit that night out. You know, just 4 years after winning the NBA title and just 3 years after being named the NBA Coach of the Year, the Toronto Raptors have deemed their head coach Nick Nurse to be too stupid to be their head coach any longer. Toronto finished the season 41-41 this year, and then they lost to the Chicago Bulls in that 9-10 game of the Eastern Conference play-in tournament. But here's where it got worse. The Raptors blew a 19-point lead in that game, and the Raptor front office said that was enough. But remember, Nick Nurse did go 227-163 as head coach of Toronto. He won a title in Canada. That doesn't happen. I mean, he didn't suddenly just get dumb. Maybe. I'm just throwing this out there. Maybe he doesn't have the talent that he once did. But as I always tell you, the front office ain't taking the blame on that. They're going to blame the head coach. On Monday, the Houston Rockets announced that former Boston Celtics head coach Ime Udoka is going to take over and try to turn things around in Houston. And I mean, when you hear this news, you got to wonder what the ladies in the front office are thinking, because they couldn't be more excited, right? Remember, Udoka was cheating on Nia Long in Boston. Can you imagine what he's going to do in Houston now that he's actually single because she left him? Oh, ladies in Houston, beware, because Udoka is going to be on the prowl. I'm just saying, you might want to be extra careful. Moving over to the NFL announced last week that 5 players have been suspended for gambling policy violations. 3 of the 5 players have been suspended through at least the conclusion of the 2023 season, while the other 2 are going to sit out their team's first 6 games. The decision from the league comes just a year after Former Atlanta Falcons wide receiver Calvin Ridley was suspended for the entire 2022 NFL season. But according to a press release shared by the NFL, Quintez Cephas and CJ Moore of the Detroit Lions, along with Shaka Tony of the Washington Commanders, have been suspended indefinitely for the 2023 season for betting on NFL games last year. And then, just a few moments after that announcement, the Lions also announced they have released Cephas and Moore, and that Jameson Williams and Stanley Berryhill, also members of the Lions, are two players who received the suspension for the Lions' first six games of the year. Both Berryhill and Williams will be eligible to participate in off-season and preseason activities, including preseason games, but their suspensions will go into effect once Detroit's roster is finalized. You know, I'm hearing people in the news media say, hey, the NFL's got to just warm up to this. You can't be suspending players for doing something that the NFL is in bed with. Yeah, you can. Here's the thing. I know that the guys getting suspended for just six games, they're saying they only gambled on like college basketball or whatever, but they did it at the Detroit Lions facility. That's where the snag is. But you don't want players getting on the wrong side of gambling. It comes with a lot of repercussions if they do. What if they're losing money? What if they're shaving points? What if they're losing games? It gets real sideways real fast, and it can provide some motivation to people that just shouldn't have it. Now, you can sit there and say, well, that's unfair. That's really unfair. You shouldn't be able to ban these players in these leagues from gambling. Gambling's legal. Whatever. At your job right now, there are certain things that you cannot do specific to your job. And that is just one of these situations. I don't care if it's legal. You can't go down that path because it leads to some really bad places. Finishing up, we move over to Major League Baseball, and the Oakland Athletics appear to be a lock to now move to Las Vegas as well. The Major League Baseball franchise has reached a deal to purchase land on the west side of the southern part of the Vegas Strip. Here's what A's president Dave Cavall had to say. For a while, we were on parallel paths with the city of Oakland, but we have turned our attention to Las Vegas to get a deal for the A's and find a long-term home. Oakland has been a great home for us for over 50 years, but we really need this 20-year saga completed, and we feel there's a path in Southern Nevada to do exactly that. The team also said they will not be skimping on a new stadium when they do move. The A's say they plan to build a 30,000-seat stadium with a retractable roof that is going to cost around $1.5 billion. Hey, Las Vegas is becoming a sports powerhouse. The Raiders moved from Oakland to Sin City, and now the Athletics are locked in to do the same thing. Don't forget, the National Hockey League put the Golden Knights in the city, and they've had some success, and there are even whispers that an NBA team could be coming very, very soon. I know Vegas is a city. It's got like 650,000 people, but they welcome around 40 million annual visitors. So not only is there like that local population to support a team, but people are going to plan vacations around coming to see their team play on the road while they're there. Here's the problem for the Oakland Athletics. They've averaged fewer than 10,000 fans per game over the last few years. Many games looked like they were being played in front of like a high school crowd. Clearly, fans in Oakland just don't care. Hey, it is time to move on. And you can move on to Vegas. T-Mobile and Allegiant Stadium are already there. They're pretty close. You can kind of walk there from the strip. Now you're going to have a third stadium in the same neighborhood. It is a very interesting scenario for sports fans going to Las Vegas. But can I just ask one thing? What in the world is going on in the city of Oakland? Oakland, back in like the 70s, that was one of the most passionate fan bases in the entire country. You had the Raiders with John Madden, Kenny Stabler. You had the A's with Reggie Jackson and Catfish Hunter. What is going on in Oakland? Now you have folks like pooping on the sidewalks, and they can't even support a single hometown pro sports team. I'm telling you, I've said it for a long time here on The Dose. The state of California has got some weird things going on back there. And the fact that you have yet another team moving because they can't get any financing, I don't know. I kind of look at California, and if I'm the rest of the states in the country, I go, well, here's a good example of what not to do. I think we'll go the opposite route of what they're doing in California, because that is clearly not working. They can't even support a Major League Baseball team in the city of Oakland. That is insane. Okay, coming back. The 2023 NFL draft begins tomorrow night in Kansas City, and the Carolina Panthers have the top pick, but we are going to be breaking down the top 15 picks of the first round of that draft, and we're going to get to that when we get back. So the 2023 NFL draft begins tomorrow in Kansas City, and this could be a very interesting draft. We have a chance of anywhere between 3 and 5 quarterbacks being taken in the first round alone. We have a number of very talented players on the board that could change their prospective teams. And like we talk about every single year, the NFL draft is the one time of the year that every single team, no matter how bad they are, has some hope. They just might get that player that propels them onto success. Sure, it doesn't usually happen, but I mean, we think it might. And that is what makes the NFL draft so exciting. So let's go ahead and jump in to our 2023 NFL mockery draft. The Carolina Panthers traded quite a bit to move into the top spot of this year's NFL draft. And I would think that with their recent struggles, they've got to be looking at a quarterback, right? They are in a prime position to get their franchise quarterback with the number one pick overall. They didn't want to settle for like the 3rd or 4th option in this class. Instead, they sent wide receiver DJ Moore and a package of picks to move up to get the pick that they wanted. Now, there are a number of different options that they could go with here. But I think they're going to go with Alabama quarterback Bryce Young, because after they visited with him, he canceled all of his future visits. And I would assume that is because the Panthers told him, you're going to be the number one pick. Now, the coaches, I think, actually prefer Ohio State quarterback CJ Stroud. So you have to wonder about the damage that maybe owner David Tepper is doing with meddling with his coaches and what the coaching staff wants. But here's the thing. Rich guys are always convinced they are the smartest people in the room. Are they? No. But I mean, tell that to like Jerry Jones. He's convinced of it. So the Panthers are going to take Bryce Young, and then they're going to wonder why a 180-pound quarterback keeps getting hurt behind that offensive line. Hey, at least they have head coach Frank Reich to get Bryce Young ready to go, much like he did recently with Matt Ryan and Phillip Rivers and Carson Wentz. I mean, what could possibly go wrong, right? Next up at number 2, we have the Houston Texans. The Texans actually should have been the number 1 pick this year, but then they went out and they won a meaningless game in week 18, and then they fired their head coach, Lovie Smith, after just 1 year on the job for winning a game. I thought that was what he was supposed to do. Instead, Houston went out and they hired 38-year-old 49ers defensive coordinator D'Amico Ryans to take over their head coaching job. It's not going to be an easy job. They really need a bona fide quarterback to replace their current quarterback. You know, the part giraffe, Davis Mills, whatever he is. So Ohio State quarterback CJ Stroud makes perfect sense here. But since when have the Texans ever made any sense in anything they do? So I think they'll take Alabama defensive end Will Anderson. Hey, I love Will Anderson. I really love that kid's game. But it makes no sense, which is why it makes perfect sense for the Houston Texans. We move to the pick number 3, where the Arizona Cardinals are there, and the Cardinals have some problems. Not only does their $230 million quarterback Kyler Murray fail to study film because he's playing Call of Duty, but he also isn't allowed to ride any of the rides at Magic Mountain, which puts him in kind of a sour mood just in general. But Kyler Murray isn't the only issue the Cardinals have. The Cardinals lost cornerback Byron Murphy Jr. They lost defensive end Zach Allen. J.J. Watt is gone. Wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins wants out too. Hey, if Hopkins leaves, you could make a pretty strong case. This might be the worst team in the NFL, at least talent-wise. So, with the number three pick, I will say the Cardinals, who don't need a quarterback, well, they probably do need a quarterback, but they don't think they do, and they can't take one here. They'd get in trouble. So maybe they trade down, but I'll say that the Cardinals will take Texas Tech defensive lineman Tyree Wilson. It's not a glamorous pick, but they do have a need there. Probably isn't even a good pick, but neither are the Cardinals. So what did you expect? The Indianapolis Colts are up next at number four. And you know, for the last few years, it has really felt like if the Colts could just get a quarterback, they could be at least a playoff contender. So they went out and they got Phillip Rivers. That didn't go so well. Then they went out and they got Carson Wentz. Didn't go so well again. They went and they got Matt Ryan. And they kind of wondered, why isn't this working? And so I think the Indianapolis Colts are going to take a quarterback here. I think that they might be interested in Florida quarterback Anthony Richardson, but I don't think they're going to be able to pass up on Ohio State quarterback CJ Stroud. He's going to bring a ton of excitement to Indianapolis. I mean, at least until they realize that over the past couple of years, the rest of their roster has deteriorated and they are no longer just a quarterback away, let alone an Ohio State quarterback away. I don't know if anyone's ever been an Ohio State quarterback away from anything, but that's who I think they're going to take at number four. The Seattle Seahawks have the number five pick after they fleeced by Denver Broncos for quarterback Russell Wilson. And the Seahawks have to be feeling pretty good. They went 9-8 last year. They made the playoffs. And they have re-signed quarterback Geno Smith to a three-year deal. They also got defensive help in defensive end Draymond Jones. Safety Julian Love. And linebacker Bobby Wagner is coming back. The Seahawks could use some more help on defense here, but I mean, let's be honest. It's Geno freaking Smith. Get excited about him all you want. Keep the receipts all you want. We know who he is. And I think the lure of the ultra-athletic Florida quarterback Anthony Richardson is just going to be too much for 87-year-old Pete Carroll to pass up. Hey, Richardson has a huge arm. He is bigger. He is stronger. He is faster than Cam Newton was in his prime. And also, he's going to throw a pass in the dirt when the game is on the line. Suck it, Seattle. Signed, Denver. The Detroit Lions are no longer flaming hot garbage anymore. And that is amazing in and of itself. Last season, the Lions went 9-8. They nearly made the postseason. Head coach Dan Campbell, he's done an amazing job of turning the Lions from a laughingstock of the league to just their defense now being a laughingstock of the league. The Lions are at number six, and they have a number of needs, but that defense has to get better. So I believe they go get Georgia defensive lineman Jalen Carter here, who honestly, he could be the best player in the draft. Why has he dropped down to six? Well, this is a steal for Detroit, because Carter had an offseason arrest, and then he had a terrible pro day. Everyone is wondering if he just failed to focus or what his problem was. But understand this. Jalen Carter can absolutely play. No question about him on the field. A lot of questions of him off the field. But I mean, you're in the city of Detroit. He was charged with reckless driving. That's kind of at the bottom of the food chain in Detroit. Folks up there aren't fazed one bit by that. Plus, Carter was racing when he got that charge. If he's betting his life on his driving ability on the street, I mean, getting him in the Lions sports betting program that they apparently have going up there, that should be a snap. I think Jalen Carter fits right in Detroit. The Las Vegas Raiders have the number seven pick, and head coach Josh McDaniels has a number of needs that he needs to fill. The Raiders defense ranked number 26 in the league in points allowed. It's not good. The Raiders offensive line really struggled to protect quarterback Derek Carr, who is now left for New Orleans. Well, this offseason, the Raiders went out and they got former San Francisco 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo to now be their starting guy. Well, say what you want about Derek Carr. A lot of time he made really bad choices in really tough situations, but he's a pretty tough guy. Jimmy G is not a tough guy. That dude breaks in half with a stiff wind, so the Raiders had better go get him some more protection. But here's the thing. I know Raiders head coach Josh McDaniels. I remember him when he was in Denver. The man traded away a future first-round pick to move up a few spots, then passed over Max Unger and Jairus Byrd for a cornerback by the name of Alphonso Smith. For the record, Alphonso was traded away from Denver after his rookie season. He never did anything in Denver. Well, now the Raiders need offensive line help. They need a number of things. So I say McDaniels will take Illinois cornerback Devin Witherspoon. Don't be surprised one bit, though, if McDaniels drafts him and then trades him away. Here's the thing that I wonder, because you got to be thinking, go get offensive line. Jimmy G's going to need it. Jimmy Garoppolo was playing behind a really good offensive line in San Francisco. He still got hurt multiple times. It didn't matter. My advice to Raider fans, you might want to tell backup Brian Hoyer to start warming up. The number 8 pick belongs to the Atlanta Falcons, who are in a bit of a rebuild, but the Falcons did manage to go 7-10 last year, and if they had any defense or a pass rush, it could have been even better. Now, it might be tempting for Atlanta to take a quarterback here. There are still a couple quarterbacks on the board, but the Falcons have second-year quarterback Desmond Ridder, and they feel like he might be their future. So based on that, I think the Falcons will go with a hometown guy. They will take Georgia pass rusher Nolan Smith to upgrade that defense a little bit. And then Atlanta can look for a quarterback, you know, in the next few years in the draft after they realize that Desmond Ridder is, you know, Desmond Ridder. The Chicago Bears have the number 9 pick because they chose to trade back from the number 1 pick. But the Bears don't need a quarterback because they already have Justin Fields. So they traded down, they got a bunch of picks, and they got wide receiver DJ Moore. Now, they really need to go get Fields some more help. Dude was sacked 55 times last year. Well, Ohio State offensive lineman Paris Johnson should be able to step in right away at right tackle, and he should be an immediate upgrade. But I have to be honest. With the news I'm seeing coming out of Chicago lately, Justin Fields might need as much protection off the field in that city as he does on the field. Can Paris Johnson like follow him around and make sure to tell him to duck every once in a while? Because I think that might be every bit as dangerous. The defending NFC champion Philadelphia Eagles have the number 10 pick this year. They received that from New Orleans last year. And while the Eagles are obviously pretty good, they do have some needs to fill. I think the Eagles should be on the market for a running back. Remember, Miles Sanders left in free agency. They went and they got Rashad Penny. I'm not sure he's a durable kind of guy. The Eagles also lost safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson, but they've addressed their safety position in free agency. So I'm saying the Eagles take Texas running back Bijan Robinson here. And I realize that the Eagles haven't been drafting running backs very early at all lately. But Robinson might just be too good for them to pass up. Dude is a home run hitter. He could be a highly productive back in that offense with quarterback Jalen Hurts. Hey, are you going to tell me the Eagles couldn't have used an even more potent run game in this past year's Super Bowl? Grind out clock? Keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline? Of course they could have. They could have also used a defensive stop in the second half. That would have been big too. They could have also used a credible officiating crew. But I mean, they can't draft that. Okay, coming back, we still have 5 more draft picks to go, including the New York Jets, the New England Patriots, and the Green Bay Packers. Might be interesting there. But then we need to go over to our Daily Dose Top 5. Looking at the draft this year, is it going to be one of the all-time great drafts? I have no idea. But does that mean it won't be exciting? Well, honestly, we never know. So let's finish up our annual NFL mockery draft by looking at picks 11 through 15. And that gets us nearly halfway through the first round of tomorrow night. And next up, we have the Tennessee Titans, who are currently a bit of a mess. The Titans went 7-10 this last year, and they missed the postseason completely. They were actually favored to win the AFC South. Now there are rumors that running back Derrick Henry could be traded soon, which honestly wouldn't be that big of a surprise because the Titans have a new general manager and they're obviously rebuilding. Now, when a team brings in a new regime like that, so many times that means they want a new quarterback. They want their own quarterback. They want to sink or swim with the guy that they selected. Well, the Titans seem like they need a new quarterback. Ryan Tannehill threw 13 touchdowns last year. He also threw 6 interceptions. He didn't do well. And don't forget, that was after the previous year of choking in the playoffs, throwing all kinds of interceptions. And you could tell that the team really lost a lot of confidence in Ryan Tannehill as their starter. Then they brought in rookie Malik Willis. And honestly, and I'm not trying to be mean, he looked like the worst quarterback in the league when he did get his chance to play. He had no idea what he was doing. He was way in over his head. So I am thinking, with the number 11 pick, that the Tennessee Titans just start over. And I think they start over with the selection of Kentucky quarterback Will Levis. Now, if you haven't seen Levis, and I watched him a lot last year, dude has a huge arm. He is absolutely a gunslinger. And by the word gunslinger, I mean crappy quarterback. The Houston Texans also have the number 12 pick in the first round of this year's draft because remember, they got this pick from the Cleveland Browns as part of that Deshaun Watson deal. And hey, the Texans still need a quarterback. Remember, they didn't take one earlier. The problem is that now there aren't a whole lot of real bona fide first-round quarterbacks left on the board. So, I mean, I guess they could reach and take like Tennessee's Hendon Hooker or something like that. But I don't think you want to reach at this point. You have a good pick. So instead, I believe the Houston Texans will take USC wide receiver Jordan Addison. Hey, Addison has big-time speed, better than he tested. He has a chance, I believe, to be a pretty solid number one type receiver. And if he could stay healthy, if he could get used to the game at the NFL level, I think he could be your number one guy for a few years. Now, if only the Texans had a number one type quarterback for a few years instead of Davis Mills, but they didn't want to address that this year. I don't think they're going to. Hey, maybe next year, because you know what? You're probably going to be picking real high yet again. We arrive at the number 13 pick, which now belongs to the Green Bay Packers. Because, of course, the Packers traded quarterback Aaron Rodgers to the New York Jets on Monday for a few picks. So now, the Packers are going to be real interesting to keep an eye on this coming weekend. Will they now do what they've refused to do, which is draft some help for the quarterback? They never did it for Rodgers. Well, here's what I think. I think the Packers front office absolutely hates Aaron Rodgers' guts. They hate his complaining. They hate his stupid beard. They really hate his recent playoff record. So, with the number 13 pick, the Packers will select Utah tight end Dalton Kincaid. And I mean, let's be honest. They're doing this purely out of spite because Rodgers is going to flip out when he hears this. They never did that for him. They never drafted any help for him. He wanted it. What did they do? They went and got another quarterback. And I just want to see how badly he flips out when he hears that they go get a big, strong tight end to help out quarterback Jordan Love now. I have a feeling it is going to be right back to the darkness retreat for Aaron Rodgers. See you on the other side, A.A. Ron. I know you are going to be upset.
You done messed up, A.A. Ron!
Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots are at pick number 14, and they've got some needs. While the defense looks strong, at least at times, their defensive line needs to be upgraded a little bit. We know Bill Belichick is not afraid to play two tight ends. He could go with another one here. He could pair him up with Hunter Henry pretty easily. This is a good draft class for tight ends, I might add. Very deep. Trading down is always an option with Bill Belichick. Secondary is another way that Belichick could go. We know he likes those versatile defensive backs. And the offensive line is aging. It probably needs to be upgraded with some youth. But I think Bill Belichick is going to prove to us that he can pick a superstar wide receiver. Because remember, he has failed with guys like N'Keal Harry and Aaron Dobson, Tyquan Thornton. So I believe the Patriots will select TCU wide receiver Quentin Johnson way too early here. You could have got him later. And then we're all going to be wondering out loud, has Bill recently lost his marbles? But he hasn't. He really hasn't. He lost them a long time ago. We finish out our Daily Dose 2023 NFL Mockery Draft with the number 15 pick, which now means the New York Jets are on the clock because of that trade. The Jets now have a bona fide quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. But you know, they had already showed some signs last season that maybe they were turning a corner. Head coach Robert Saleh, he has built himself a very solid defense. The one thing they needed was a quarterback. Now they have one, we think. So I believe that the Jets are going to make a draft pick here to impress their new quarterback. Yes, the hallucinogen imbibing Aaron. With the number 15 pick, the New York Jets select Georgia offensive lineman Broderick Jones, who I realize is a very raw talent, but he may have a really, really high ceiling. And this has to make Aaron happy, doesn't it? I mean, at least for a few minutes. Don't get me wrong. It's not going to last. He's going to find something else to cry about. It's just who Aaron is. Make no mistake, it is coming. But temporarily, he might be at least a little bit happy. Now, as we do so many weeks here at the Daily Dose, we need to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Like we've talked about all day, the 2023 NFL Draft begins tomorrow in Kansas City. And while there are years that the draft proved to be real predictable, maybe without much of any surprises, make no mistake, the NFL Draft is television. And it is reality television. You never know what might happen. Maybe a player goes early. Maybe a player gets taken way too early. Maybe a player slides. Maybe a team does something totally shocking. You just never know how the NFL draft is going to go. Today, our Daily Dose Top 5 is counting down the top 5 biggest first round surprises of the NFL draft. And we have seen some shockers. The question I have is, are we going to see one again this year? We begin at number 5. And we go to one of the more modern draft night storylines that seems like we're having kind of every year. Because every year, a few players, maybe 10 to 15 players, they agree to show up to the NFL draft and they get all the pats on the back. They get all the crowd applause in person. They sit in the green room. Maybe they're sitting out at the table with their families, with their friends, with their agent. And yet, every single year, someone seems to get stuck in this nightmare. For our number 5 entry, we go back to the year 2005, where the San Francisco 49ers had the top pick in the draft. Well, they were definitely on the market for a quarterback. And one of the most impressive quarterbacks available was the guy we were just talking about. Cal Berkeley quarterback Aaron Rodgers. He had lit up the college ranks. He had a huge arm, seemed highly intelligent. He was really, really athletic, way more athletic than sometimes I think he even still gets credit for. And get this, Aaron Rodgers had grown up just up the road from San Francisco in Chico, California. Rodgers had actually grown up cheering for the San Francisco 49ers. This was going to be a perfect fit. And Rodgers arrived at the NFL draft in New York City, where he was going to be the top pick. However, the 49ers had some different ideas. Because instead of just taking the guy, they had allowed the interviews and the combine and the draft process to kind of tweak their feelings. And they had fallen in love with Utah quarterback Alex Smith and his little tiny baby hands. So they took him with the top pick. And Rodgers continued to sit in the green room. The problem was that back in 2005, there were a number of teams that already thought they had their quarterback. So players like Ronnie Brown went to the podium. Braylon Edwards got his name called. Mike Williams was selected. They all left the green room. And Aaron Rodgers sat there seething. Finally, after hours with the number 24 pick, the Green Bay Packers finally relieved Aaron Rodgers of his misery, and he got to go up on the stage himself. But Aaron Rodgers, existing in his own little personal hell, yeah, it was a shocker. And it comes in today at number 5. We move on to number 4. And hey, there is no question in NFL history, Mike Ditka was a pretty darn good head coach. I mean, when you think of what he did with Chicago Bears, it was historic. One of the greatest teams ever assembled, no question. However, it is impossible to remember the great things he did without also remembering one of the craziest things he ever did. Because Mike Ditka had one of the most wild draft night stories, and he started the whole thing. We go back to the year 1999. Texas running back Ricky Williams was going to be a top pick, no question. Ricky could do it all. He had racked up an insane career for the Longhorns. He could run between the tackles. He could break the home run. He would block. He could catch. And he seemed, and I'm not exactly sure why, but he really seemed like he was a nice, mellow, calm individual. Sure, he liked Funyuns a little much, but he was a nice guy. Hey, Ricky Williams in 1999 was an absolute can't-miss prospect. Well, now with the New Orleans Saints, head coach Mike Ditka also believed Ricky to be can't miss as well. So on draft night, Mike Ditka traded the Saints' first, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh round picks in the 1999 NFL draft to move up, wait for it, 7 spots. Unbelievable. Washington also received the Saints' first and third rounders in the 2000 NFL draft. Hey, Ricky Williams had a solid career. He was a good NFL running back. But trading away your entire draft class for one guy, it was completely insane. And honestly, it set the Saints back for quite a few years. Mike Ditka trading everything he had for one player was completely insane. And it comes in today on our list at number 4. Next up at number 3, you know, missing your NFL draft selection due to just running out of time on the clock, it's an occurrence that rarely happens. Like, no one really even thinks about it. Well, unless you're a fan of the Minnesota Vikings, and then you can't stop thinking about it. See, the Vikings actually made NFL history in, like, bumbling fashion when they missed their first-round selection. Not once. They actually did it twice. Starting back in 2002, the Vikings had a chance to move up and take advantage of the Dallas Cowboys, who were slow making their pick. See, the Cowboys had surrendered their 6th overall pick because they had run out of time. That put the Vikings on the clock early. However, in the Minnesota War Room, they didn't turn in their card quickly enough. So the Cowboys retained the pick, despite not really having it, and they were able to execute a trade with the Kansas City Chiefs. The Vikings had no idea. The Chiefs ran to the podium. They selected defensive tackle Ryan Sims, and the Vikings missed a chance to move up. Well, the very next year, 2003, it was once again the Vikings that somehow did it again. They held the 7th overall pick. This time they were trying to make a trade with the Baltimore Ravens. See, the Ravens wanted to select Marshall quarterback Byron Leftwich. The Vikings believed they had completed the trade, so they were sitting back, relaxing. The problem was there was an issue with Baltimore, and the trade hadn't officially been filed. So the time ran out on the pick, which still technically belonged to the Vikings. Again, it was chaos. The Carolina Panthers and Jacksonville Jaguars both ran to the podium, put in their picks, and jumped ahead of the Vikings. Nobody ever misses their draft pick. That'd be crazy. Like I said, unless you're the Minnesota Vikings. And then you would do it not once. You'd do it twice. It's just kind of par for the course with the Minnesota Vikings. And missing their pick because they just kind of botched it comes in today at number 3. So we reached number 2 on our list of most surprising NFL draft moments in the first round. And we go back to 1994, where ESPN analyst Mel Kiper Jr. had kind of begun to make a name for himself. He was a guy that would analyze the picks. He would analyze the players. And here's the key. Mel Kiper did not mince words. If he had criticism of your selection, if he had criticism of your player or your team or your moves, hey, he would blast you, especially if they didn't match what he had predicted. He kind of got personal back then. Well, in 1994, this spilled into a wild, dramatic, live argument in the draft after Kiper took a shot at the Indianapolis Colts. See, the Colts selected Nebraska linebacker Trev Alberts, and he had said they should take Fresno State quarterback Trent Dilfer. This was with the 5th overall pick. Here's what Kiper had to say. I think it was a typical Colts move. The Colts needed a quarterback. To pass up Trent Dilfer when all you have is Jim Harbaugh? Give me a break. That's why the Colts are picking 2nd every year in the draft. Yeah, he pulled no punches. However, right after this, ESPN went to a live interview with then Colts general manager Bill Tobin. And he made no bones about the fact that he disagreed completely with what Kiper had said. And what we got in 1994 was honestly one of the greatest live moments in NFL draft history. Here is that clip from ESPN.
After who in the hell is Mel Kiper in a way? I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. In my knowledge of him, he's never ever put on a jock strap. He's never been a coach. He's never been a scout. He's never been an administrator. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take. We don't have to take anybody that Mel Kiper says we have to take. Mel Kiper has no more credentials to do what he's doing than my neighbor, and my neighbor's a postman, and he doesn't even have season tickets to the NFL.
Mel Kiper versus Bill Tobin was so good, and it was such a shocking moment at the time. This just didn't happen. You didn't criticize it like that. And if you did, no one ever spoke back about it. It was wild reality TV, and it comes in today at number 2. So we reach the number 1 first round NFL draft surprise. And what else could it be? Hey, there's no question. Social media has had an impact on professional sports. Now, is that a positive impact? Sometimes. Is it a negative impact? Yeah, a lot of times. And here's one of those examples. Ole Miss's Laramie Tunsil was the best offensive lineman in the 2016 NFL draft. In fact, you could make a case that Tunsil might have been the best player on the entire board. He was a lock to be the number 1 pick in 2016. And the Tennessee Titans were expected to select him there once the draft began. But then they traded the pick to the Rams. Now, the Rams may have taken Tunsil too, we're not sure. However, just hours prior to the beginning of the 2016 NFL draft, an image of Laramie Tunsil wearing a gas mask and smoking a bong emerged on Twitter. Oh wait, it's going to get worse. What is so bizarre about this was the fact that the image was actually uploaded on Tunsil's own account. So his agent declared, hey, he's been hacked. It wasn't him. But that explanation wasn't enough to convince everyone this guy has his head on straight. So many people were scared to death of drafting a guy that not only apparently did this, but then somehow allowed it to get on his own personal Twitter. I mean, you had to wonder, is he an idiot? Is he trying to screw this up? Or maybe it was like a revenge thing. Maybe he's involved with some bad things. Whatever it was, Tunsil started sliding down draft boards. Fans were scrambling, trying to figure out what was going on, who leaked the picture. NFL scouts are trying to figure out, do we take him? Do we not take him? What in the world do we do? Finally, the Miami Dolphins selected Laremy Tunsil with the 13th overall pick. He should have never been that low in the draft. But when something that damaging comes out on your social media, how could you blame teams for passing up on this kid? Maybe he just isn't that bright. I don't know. It was absolutely insane. And Laremy Tunsil, being an idiot, comes in today on our list at number one. Hey, I'm not sure the 2023 NFL draft is going to be remembered as an all-time great draft class. I'm not sure it's going to be remembered for much of anything. But as our Daily Dose Top 5 has shown us today, it doesn't mean it won't be must-see TV. And who knows, we might have shocking moments tomorrow that we didn't see coming. They've happened before, and we didn't see those coming either. Hey, next week on The Dose, I am going to be joined by a few friends to break down the way too early winners and losers from that 2023 NFL draft. Plus, we'll be keeping you up on all that is going on in sports. So trust me, you do not want to miss it. Be sure that you tune into The Daily Dose, and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out the new things going up there every week. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week and enjoy the NFL draft.
In my knowledge of him, he's never ever put on a jock strap. He's never been a coach. He's never been a scout. He's never been an administrator.